Emma Constance.
And I'm Lucinda.
And together in our Kids Lore podcast, we're taking a look at how laws affect children as we grow up.
So what are we going to look at in this episode, Emma Constance?
Well, when we started series 3 in our podcast, we decided to focus on how the law protects children when they spend time online. I want to understand what work is being done to ensure that we as children feel safe on the internet and not feel worried that we come across information that is not suitable for children, and who is responsible to make sure this happens and how they do it.
Yes, when we spoke to Andy Burrows from the NSPCC, he told us about the Children's Code, which was established by the Information Commissioner's Office in 2021. This is a code of practice and set of standards for electronic information services, which require that they treat children and their data in an appropriate way. Let's talk to Emily Keeney, Deputy Commissioner, Regulatory Policy at the Information Commissioner's Office, the ICO, who can tell us more about the work being done to protect children online.
Hello, Emily. Thank you so much for joining us on our Kids Law podcast today. We are so pleased to have you here. Can you please explain your role and the work of the ICO?
Hi, really lovely to be here. So I'm Emily and I am the Deputy Commissioner here at the Information Commissioner's Office, and I have responsibility for regulatory policy. So what that means in practice is I look after all of our policy and guidance work. So the kind of support and advice and information that we give organisations to help them make sure that they're using our personal data responsibly and safely and in ways that won't cause people harm and in ways that will make sure we all get the benefits that good, responsible use of data can bring.
Can you tell us more about the Children's Code, which the ICO developed, and its impact to protect children?
Of course. So the Children's Code is a set of standards that organisations have to put in place to make sure that when they are using children's personal data, they're doing that in a way that protects children, that ensures children have a kind of safe online experience. It's not new law, but it is our way of explaining to organisations how they put the law into practice. It's pretty broad, so it covers lots of online organisations, and the wording that's used is organisations likely to be accessed by children. That wording's really important because it's not just organisations whose services are designed specifically for children. It's intended to cover any kind of online sites or services that children are likely to be on. And that's because we recognise that children use all sorts of sites and access all sorts of things online, not just specifically children's services. And we want children to be protected where they are on the internet. It covers lots of different things. So, for instance, it has standards in there about ensuring that what we call the transparency information, so the kind of information that you're given about how your personal data is used, is appropriate for children, that it's easy to understand, that it explains it in ways that kind of reflect what happens to children's data in language that makes sense. And actually, that's not just good for children, that's good for adults too, because nobody wants to read loads of really complicated terms and conditions that don't make sense to anyone. It means that privacy standards have to be set as high by default. So, for instance, if you're a child using a social media site, it should make sure that the default settings are not to share your information publicly, that they're all set so that they're private. It means that in most cases, geolocation tracking is turned off. So there's not a default setting that shows people where you are, lots of things like that. And we've provided lots of different kinds of guidance to help organisations put all of that into practice when they're using your personal data. We have surveys that we do which show how many organisations have taken it up, and there's pretty high levels of awareness of it. In terms of how we focus our support, though, you know, the work that we do to really engage engage specifically with organisations to make sure they haven't just heard of it, but that they're really doing the work they need to put it into practice. We've been identifying specific organisations where we think lots of children are using them, but also that kinds of risks associated with those sites are higher, either because the ways in which they process data mean that a lot of data is being shared, or they might use lots of things that we call like nudge techniques, where they're persuading children to share more data or spend more time online, or because they might be potentially inappropriate for children because of the content they've got on those sites. So we've been focusing on gaming sites, for instance, which obviously lots of children like to access. And we've recently put out some top tips for gaming sites to help them comply that was informed by some of the audits we do. And that's when we go into an organisation and really look in detail at what they're doing and whether they've got it right. We've been looking at social media sites, and we've also been looking at various other kind of adult-oriented sites where actually children might be accessing those sites, but really they should have age assurance techniques to make sure that young children in particular aren't on those sites. So, you know, sites with adult content on them. An example of some action we've taken is that we recently issued a fine to TikTok, which I'm sure you will have heard of. Our evidence shows that we estimate up to 1.4 million UK children under the age of 13 had TikTok accounts in 2020. And between May 2018 and July 2020, TikTok collected and used personal data of between 1.1 and 1.4 million UK children under 13 without their consent or without authorisation from their parents or carers. And that's against UK data protection law. It means that personal data of children under 13 might have been used to track them, to profile them, and possibly deliver harmful and inappropriate content. TikTok also didn't provide proper information to people about how their data is collected and used and shared in ways that are easy to understand. And that meant that children were unlikely to be able to make informed choices about whether that was okay with them. And so that's why we issued the fine. And it's an important example of why we want to make sure organisations understand the importance of using children's data responsibly.
So I know that the Online Safety Bill is going through Westminster Parliament and that one of its aims is to protect children online. Does it expand the Children's Code, and how are you involved in this work?
Yeah, so the Online Safety Bill will be overseen by Ofcom. They will be the regulator who's in charge of making sure that organisations put in place what they're supposed to do through the Online Safety Bill. We work really closely with Ofcom. We've got a really close working relationship with them. And we will be working with them as they put the Online Safety Bill in place. It doesn't expand the Children's Code, but there's a really close relationship between the two. So we are interested at the Information Commissioner's Office in how your personal data is being used. What happens to your personal data? Is it being kept safe? You know, all of the information about who you are, what you do online, things that you like, how old you are, you know, all of those kinds of bits of information that are about you. That's our job to make sure that's all being used safely. Ofcom's job is more about the content, the kind of information, images, videos that you see when you're on the internet. Is that appropriate for children? And is content that's likely to be harmful, are organisations doing enough to make sure children don't see that? Sometimes those two things kind of meet in the middle. So one of the things that organisations sometimes do when we're online is they gather lots of information about us, lots of our personal data. So what do we like looking at online? How old are we? Are we a boy or a girl? Where do we live in the world? What other sites have we looked at? What kind of content have we looked at to create what's called a profile of us? And then they might use that profile, that information that they found out about us, to recommend content that we might like to watch. Okay, sometimes that works really well. So when I'm on Netflix and it says to me, oh, you watched that, and we know a bit about you, and we think that means you might also like this service, that's great. But sometimes that can be used, all of that personal data that they've collected about you can be used to serve you content that is harmful. So, you know, they might say, oh, we saw that you stumbled across this video that actually isn't really appropriate for a child to look at. Here's some more videos like that. So they'll be using that personal information to serve up harmful content. And that's when what we do and what Ofcom does kind of meets in the middle. And that's one of the areas where we'll be particularly focused on how we work together to make sure that we're keeping children safe.
So I also know that there is a lot of cyberbullying, especially on social media platforms. Although there are age limits for when children are allowed to create accounts, much younger children still end up on these platforms because this is not being checked. Why is this happening and how can we stop this?
So one of the things that we're interested in at the Information Commissioner's Office, and Ofcom will be looking at as well, so another area where we'll be working together, is what we call age assurance or age verification. And that is, how do you check that somebody is really old enough to be on these sites, that they're at the age that they say they are, and that it's okay for them to be using these services? So we've been doing a lot of work with Ofcom on how you do that effectively and what level of confidence do you have to have in the system that you use, because you might want a much more secure system of checking someone's age for a site that's got lots of content that's only suitable for adults, whereas you might want something that gives you some confidence but isn't quite as tough for other kinds of sites. So we are working with Ofcom on that. There's lots of different approaches that can be taken and we're exploring them. So one of the ones that is often used but doesn't give you very much confidence is just asking somebody how old they are. So when you go on a site, they'll say, you know, you need to register, you need to tell us what your date of birth is, and then we'll set up an account for you and we'll assume you're the age that you've told us. Obviously, that's quite easy to tell the company that you're older than you are. So there are other ways of doing it as well. So there's some which use facial recognition technology. They look at your face and they make an estimate of how old they think you are. And they use that alongside things like asking you to tell them how old they are. And then there's some which actually ask for proper ID. And that would be the same way as if you want to go and drink in a pub, you have to show that you're 18. So for those adult sites, there's some that are asking for hard identification. We're also looking at making sure, not just that when organisations are asking for information about age, that it's kind of robust enough for the content they've got on there, but also that if they are asking you for lots of your personal data to tell them how old they are, that they're making sure they're really keeping that safe. I think it's more into Ofcom's sphere, really. I think where it comes into the children's code is that organisations should be ensuring that when children have got accounts on social media platforms, the settings on those accounts are set to private as default, and that they've got high kind of privacy settings as default. That isn't going to protect you from bullying from people who you know. If you're being bullied by your so-called friends at school who you have included as friends on your account, it's not going to help with that necessarily, although there should be easy ways on those sites for you to report that, or, you know, as well as doing things like talking to a teacher or talking to your parents. But what it does help protect from, which I think can be a real problem, is the kind of bullying that you can get from people that you don't know, you know, that sort of making horrible comments in gaming sites or on social media platforms, which can often happen when it's friends of friends or, you know, people in a wider circle. So it will help protect with that. And we also expect organisations to make changing your settings in your account so that you can much more easily block people. And it's really obvious to you how you kind of manage who sees your information and who can contact you. We expect organisations to make that really easy for children.
Which other areas of the internet, apart from social media, can create risks for children? And what can be done about them?
So I think some of this will always depend on the individual child. And I think one of the best ways of helping children navigate the online world is actually really the kind of thing that we're doing now, which is having a conversation about it. Because as children grow and become adults, they will always have to navigate the internet and be able to deal with some risks. So I always say the most important thing is having good conversations with children about what's out there and how they deal with things that they might encounter. But that doesn't mean that there aren't lots of other things that can be done. And there are risks, I think, in lots of different areas. So there is social media, there's gaming sites where there are potential risks of people being mean to each other, especially if you're playing with people that you don't know. There's messaging sites. There's sites which are designed for adults and have adult content on them. And that can even be kind of normal sort of streaming TV type services. You know, you can get some quite adult content on there, which if children encounter that can be quite upsetting. So there's quite a wide range, just like in the offline world. There are parental controls that you can put in place, and those range from controls on specific sites all the way through to kind of content filters that you can put on your browser, to just things like screen time limits to help people have a healthy balance. And to be honest, those are good for adults as well as for children. So there's lots of things that can be done. There's lots of good websites that have got tips out there for both parents and children. I'm sure you've come across some of them. The NSPCC, who I think you mentioned earlier, have lots of information out there. So do people like ChildNet and Parent Zone. And then from the Information Commissioner's Office perspective, we play our part by making sure that that personal data element, the information about you, is being kept safe and being used in a way that helps you keep it private when you want to and doesn't release it to other people and has all of those parameters around it.
What age do you think is safe for a child to have a smartphone?
So what an interesting question. So the ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office, we don't have a view on that because that's not part of our job. So I think the Ofcom research shows that lots of children, not all, but lots of children get a mobile phone when they go to secondary school. But it also depends on the child. And children develop at different rates and get comfortable with these things at different rates. So putting a single number on it is quite hard. So I think it will depend on the child. But I let my oldest have one when he was 11.
Do you work with other organisations to help protect children online? Can you give us examples of this?
Yes. So I think I've talked quite a lot about working with Ofcom. We do lots of that. We work with lots of organisations when helping them put the children's code in place. So we've worked with gaming companies and social media companies, and we often work with their representative bodies to help them spread the word amongst all of their members. We also provide information to government about what we're seeing as the regulator. And we were also part of Stay Safe Online campaign as well this year and last year.
Can you please tell us what your typical working day looks like? What do you do?
My typical working day is quite hard to describe, quite different often. I think if you ask my kids, they just say I spend all my time on meetings, which is definitely true. Sometimes that's talking to people in my own organisation who are working on different projects, including on the children's code, helping them think about whether they're delivering what we need to, whether there are things that they need to do differently. Sometimes I spend it talking to some of the organisations that we work with, who I've mentioned. occasionally I'll go out and speak at an event or attend a conference, but a lot of it is meetings, talking to people, hearing what's going on for organisations and people outside and how we can help them better, and then taking that back to my organisation and explaining to them whether there are things that we might need to do differently.
I have a question I ask all of our guests. What were you like at 10, and what did you imagine you would go on to be as an adult?
What was I like at 10? That's so long ago. It's hard to remember. I think when I was 10, I wanted to be an actor. I was still at primary school at 10, so I was mostly playing in the park and hanging out with my friends. And I have a younger sister as well, so occasionally I'm getting into arguments with her, although most of the time we got along okay.
Thank you so much, Emily, for coming on our Kids Law podcast and telling us about the work of the ICO.
Thank you.
Do you have any final advice for children who want to understand more about the issues you've discussed?
Yes. So I think we have got some good resources on the ICO's website that are designed, they're actually designed to use in schools to help children understand the children's code and what their rights are in data protection, but they are also useful for children just to look at themselves to understand it. So that would be a good place. And I would also say it's always good to think a little bit about what information you're giving away about yourself when you're using online services. Are you giving away information about who you are, where you live, what you like? All of that is fine, but it's always worth just being aware of it and thoughtful about what you're sharing and who with.
Well, Alma, what do you think about what Emily told us?
The Information Commissioner's Office, or the ICO, created the Children's Code, which is a set of standards and rules for organisations to use to protect children's data and to give them a safe experience online. We should all be very careful about who you give your private information to, both in real life and online. Emma told us that being aware of your personal data and not giving it away is also very important. Parents can also install settings that make sure children aren't spending too much time online or seeing adult content. They should put in privacy settings so that the filters are set to private. At the age of 10, Emily liked to play outside in the park and hang out with her friends.
Emily says that it's important that children have conversations with the adult they trust about any online content or conversations that upset them. They can also help by reporting any bullying to the organisations, help you block people you don't want to have conversations with, and also help manage who can see your information. In our podcast, we've been exploring how laws work and affect young people. All of these things help children understand their rights and responsibilities so that they can make informed decisions, not only about their lives, but also about voting for MPs who make the laws, and understanding how the legal justice system works. It's also important that children know that they should be kept safe and that adults must care for them. Remember, if you have any worries, talk to an adult you trust and tell them how you feel. This includes your teachers at school who are there to look after you too. So tell them you need to talk to them.
Keep your questions coming in. Please subscribe, rate and share the podcast with your friends. See you soon in the next episode.
Bye.